much food should our kids be eating? And do we need to be concerned about portion size? Should we regulate how much food we offer them? If you're a mom and this has been on your mind, then this quick episode is for you. You're listening to Healthy Mompreneurs Get Wealthy podcast with Kathy Richards, RD. As a registered dietitian with over 20 years of experience, I've helped thousands of people get healthier and ultimately wealthier, and now it's your turn, busy mompreneur. In this podcast, I'll be sharing with you my self-love journey back to health after years of stress and challenges, including living with a spouse with mental illness, suffering a concussion, learning to live with post-concussion syndrome, illnesses in my family, a death in my family, divorce, and more illnesses in my family. And all this with three kids under the age of 10. If anyone can show you how to thrive and not just survive through challenges and setbacks, it's me. Hey, Kathy Richards, registered dietitian, hopping in for a super quick episode, but I wanted to talk with you about this week because it's come up a few times in my work this week. So I thought, okay, well, if it's showing up a few times in my awareness, then maybe it's something that I need to come on and talk with you about. Because I know a lot of you in my audience are moms. A lot of you might wonder how your kids' nutrition is. So I thought we could take a few minutes and talk about it. So if you're new to the podcast or if you don't know me, I am a mom to three. I have a 7-year-old, a 9-year-old, and an 11-year-old. I hesitated because I worked with an 8-year-old and a 12-year-old today. So my mind is like, oh, that's a bit weird. And I'm reviewing some documents for those particular kids that happen to be from the same family, which was kind of funny because they got booked into my schedule, one at 10 a.m. and one at 1 p.m. And I didn't really notice that they were from the same family until I went to do the 1 o'clock call. And I thought, oh, I could have done the calls at the same time. So I'm pulling out a resource for them. But it's funny because the resource comes from Alberta Health Services. They have lots of great resources online that I often share with clients. But the first one is Food Guide Serving Sizes for 5 to 11 years. And then the second one is Food Guide Serving Sizes for 13 to 18 years. So where do the 12-year-olds go? That's just my humor and that's just me picking up like, oh, that's a bit strange. So we'll see if mom comes back with a question about that, because I can see that that may be something that she wants to know. I also worked with another child this week, an 8-year-old with low muscle tone, working with physiotherapy. So that conversation centered around, you know, how much protein that individual child needed. And that was the concern of the parents as well. So I thought, well, this would be a great topic to come on and chat with you guys about for a few minutes. So, you know, we want to feed kids in a way that we're fueling ourselves. Okay, and this is where it comes into teaching our children how to be intuitive eaters as we're learning or we're practicing being intuitive eaters as well. So what does that look like? Well, if you were at home with kids during the pandemic, you'll know that it felt like we were feeding them all day and every day during the school year. And at that point, I made little snack packs. And my son still asks to this day, like, where are the snack packs? Can we have those back? Because, you know, I would be trying to work and I would get them a little, like, you know, their snack pack for the day kind of thing. And then come for, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But in between, that's your go-to. And he really liked to have that kind of to gravitate towards. So it's interesting when, you know, it's the weekend, he kind of wants that back. Because at school, and both the individuals that I worked with today were on the same schedule, like eating around 11 I think my kids eat around 11, 10 as well. And then again, somewhere between 1:30 and 2, right? For their school lunches or their nutrition breaks. So that may be why at home they're used to eating a bit more spread out during the day as well. But what is a good portion size, or how should we be feeding our kids? Well, looking at it as the health professional coming from that intuitive eating lens, I'm going to look at it from like, okay, and I've done some baby toddler nutrition this week as well. So, we want when they're starting to introduce eating to their infant, we want them to introduce iron-rich foods first. And we want them to pick times when the child's going to be more rested, right? Because nobody wants to come to the table, especially when they're learning about how food tastes, how it feels. Like, there's so much fun that comes into feeding babies. And I have to say, I don't think I enjoyed that process as much as I could have because it was chaos, right? And lots of other things were happening at that point in my life journey. But we want to introduce them to food. And a really, really important aspect is that family meal time. I've also worked with the family of a toddler recently where that child was never eating with their family when they were in the house. So they would wake up, they would be rushed to go off to daycare so the parents could get to work. They would feed baby some type of milk. I think it was Fairlight, like a higher protein milk option. Take the child to daycare. Oh, I think they were getting some type of breakfast there. And then when they came home, they would feed the child on their own, like just sitting, feeding the child. And then after the child was in bed, they would have their evening meal together as a family. That makes it hard because that child's not seeing us eat a variety of different foods, and we're not giving them that exposure. Plus, family mealtime, there's so many other benefits to it, right? Like, you communicate, you talk, you have fun. It's a time to reconnect after you've been apart all day. If you've been, going to work and the kids have been at school or daycare, it's a reconnection point, right? For a lot of us, food is connection. So it's important for us to come together and eat together. I can remember back when my son was, oh, he was like 2.5. I was still living with my ex at that point. And, he didn't like a lot of new foods. He kind of went after his older sister, who didn't like different textures. She's kind of has more sensitive palette, but also clothing wise, she didn't like how socks felt and she didn't like how tickets would feel. And he came along and she was at home with him when he was a baby, and he kind of like latched onto her like his leader. So when it came to feeding him, it was interesting because a few times she was in kindergarten and he would be sitting with me. He was 2.5 at the time, and I would have something different for lunch. I would get his plate ready with the vegetables that he would normally take, and I think I had peppers or broccoli or something raw on my plate. And he would steal little pieces from my plate to try. And it wasn't, I wasn't sitting there saying, "Oh, you should try this. This is so amazing." I was just sitting there eating my lunch calmly. I think we had some music on, maybe. He was just sitting there eating his lunch. It was a calm meal time. It was just the two of us. But he became interested in that food that I had on my plate. And quite often when I'm working with parents around introducing first foods, they'll say, "Well, the baby's interested in what we're having." Great. Then let's start to offer that kid what we're having so their food isn't separate. I had another experience in the last 6 months where another family was having trouble. The baby really wasn't eating a lot of food. And after I did some digging and investigating, it took me a while to ask the right questions. And I'm really good at asking questions. But that day, it took me a bit to get to the fact that that baby was getting an entirely different meal made for them. Because a well-meaning parent had read that sodium was bad, salt was bad for babies, so they were cooking entirely different options for that child. And again, that was creating confusion because the child was seeing what they were eating, but that's not what they got. And then there was, a consequence that they were not that interested in the food. A child also, like a baby, also needs to feel the texture. They need to throw food. They need to play with it. That's part of the experience. But if you've moved through the baby phase and now you're in, the 5 to 15 phase, how do you know if your kids haven't had enough food? Well, when we look at the research, like even though it seems to me some days that my 7-year-old is not eating a thing, by the end of the week, if we look at kids, they tend to take in the same volume and the same nutrient content from food week after week if you kind of balance it out. Okay, so how much food do they need? Well, you can look, at the food guide. It gives options for serving sizes. I have this amazing handout from Alberta Health Services if you're interested. But the main one that I'm getting questions about this week is how much protein do my kids need to eat? So a portion size for protein looks like about the size of the palm of the hand. And a kid is smaller than an adult. Their hands are usually smaller. So that's a good target to kind of aim for. Or it would be like 2 eggs. Up to 8 years, that's really all the protein that they need is in 2 eggs. That would give about 14 grams of protein. Or in that one serving of meat, that would be, 2.5 ounces would be, again, between 15 to 20 grams of protein in one day. So if you look at, building muscle. So for example, the one child I'm working with right now is trying to increase their muscle tone. They really don't have any, and that's affecting movement throughout the day. It's also affecting their body's ability to eliminate things. They have very little core strength, which is meaning that for him to have a proper bowel movement that's not hard to move through is quite hard because there's not a lot of strength there. There's also not a lot of fiber coming into that child's food intake over the day, so we're going to play with that a bit. But that child is getting a Fairlight, chocolate Fairlight like protein drink in the morning, and they're getting 30 grams of protein. So they're getting their protein for the day every day right away. Okay, they're 8. That's where their protein needs to sit. They kind of increase a bit when we get to 9 years of age, where it could be a couple of portions. If we're eating tofu, it's about the size of a tennis ball. If we're eating beans, same thing. Think about size of a tennis ball, or it's 3/4 of a cup if you're going to measure that. Peanut butter is about the size of a golf ball, and nuts or seeds, if that's the protein source, that's a couple of golf ball size servings. So think about the meat portion like a puck. So you want them to have a tennis ball, a puck, a golf ball, or a couple golf balls, depending on what their protein source is per day. That meets their protein needs. Where are their biggest energy needs coming from? And a lot of parents have concerns. All they want to do is eat breads and things, but that's because that's their quickest source of energy, right? Grains and we want to choose whole grains more often to give them that fiber, but that looks like maybe 4 servings that are about the size of a tennis ball over the day. Okay, so that could be cereal or buns or pasta or rice, whatever we're feeding them. But again, I'm going to come back to listen to your child and teach them how to listen to their body, right? And how they can check in for hunger and fullness. So, some things to think about. How fast does your family eat their meals, right? If the goal is just to finish the meal, we tend to eat faster. We can put a lot of food in before we have the awareness that we're full. Kids are pretty smart, though. They'll figure out after they overeat a couple of times if they're in tune with their body, gee, that didn't feel good. Like, my food's coming back up, or I have acid in my mouth. Like, so often when that happens, if it happens with my kids, it's a quick feedback for them. They're like, oh yeah, I guess I didn't need that second portion. So sometimes we're waiting. We're just waiting out of curiosity, not out of we can't eat the food that we want to eat, but out of like, gee, do I really need this or I really like this? Maybe I can have the leftovers in my lunch tomorrow versus trying to eat it all right now. I have one child that loves to eat and they tend to eat really quick. So my awareness at the mealtime is that I have to not focus on that or I have to kind of not pay attention to that because I will tend to eat quickly. And I was the youngest of five kids growing up, so I needed to eat quick to get access to food. So I can remember my weight changed dramatically after a couple of my older brothers left home to go to post-secondary education. But it was because there was more food available at that time, right? So there's so many different factors. The other thing that I'll point out is if your kid has had an illness or a virus, sometimes that resets some of those pathways for hunger and fullness, or sometimes it puts the body in that stress response. So I have a child. Apologies, I had to cough there. I have a child that had long COVID for 3.5 years. Oh, quite, fatigued. A lot of chest pain, a lot of dizziness, things that, every time we checked in, with medical testing, nothing came up. But what happened for them was their appetite regulation and the stress response in their body kind of got triggered, and it took a long time for that response to go away. So as a result, it's not even that their food intake increased compared to their siblings or compared to before. But their body held on to weight. It became a lot more efficient because that's the body's response to stress. So in that case, it's just to highlight that there's different factors that affect how our body hangs on to weight for us and for our kids. So to make that child wrong because their body hangs on to weight, and it's a conversation that we often have. They'll be like, "Oh, I'm fat. People told me I'm fat." Fat's just a descriptive word. It's just a characteristic of something. It's not a bad word, and we'll have conversations about that as well. But it's just the awareness that, gee, this happened. As a result of that, this was the outcome, and that's, that might not feel good, but your body is still able to support you. You can run, you can play, you're feeling better, and body weight is not the issue. It's all the healthy habits and the healthy food that's offered, and the sleep and the stress response, right? So there's so many other things that we need to focus on first before we even get to food. And I'm going to trust as a parent that we're all trying to offer our kids the best food that we can. That's why a lot of people come to me to see how they can improve their health so they can have that, healthy relationship with food. And then we can pass that on to our kids. And that's why I do what I do. So I hope this has been helpful. If you have any questions, if you want these food guide resources, I'm happy to send them on. I'm going to be talking next week about five reasons why you might be hungrier one day versus another. Because I want to bring the conversation to you that that's why we can't set a plan and forget it because our appetite changes based on so many factors that don't even have anything to do with the food that's sitting in front of us. So, if this has been helpful, or if you know someone that you think would benefit, feel free to share it with them. And as usual, thanks for listening, and I will talk to you guys next week. And that's it for today's episode of Healthy Mompreneurs Get Wealthy podcast with Kathy Richards, RD. If you found this helpful and you have a friend who may also find it useful, please feel free to share it with them. And don't forget to leave a review on your favorite podcast player because every month I choose one lucky reviewer and they get a free 60-minute one-on-one intensive where I help you identify the one thing holding you back from your health and wellness goals. Curious about intuitive eating? Ready to have more joyful eating without the guilt? Then go to my website and click on the link to book a free 30-minute call where I'll walk you through the first step.